When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the 90 Day Fiancé Wrap-Up Podcast. We're here today to talk about 90 Day Fiancé Before the 90 Day, Season 6, Episode 11, where I believe one couple or one single is officially done on the show, but we still have plenty of couples and drama to go through. I am, of course, your host and conductor of the Hot Mess Express, with Xander Keeley, ready to break things down once more. And with me today, I have a lovely guest who has also been very booked and busy lately, but is gracious enough to give us their time, so we do appreciate it. He is, of course, one half of the Challenge podcast over on the Dom and Colin Network, and also one half of the Love Island Wrap Up right here on this very network. It is, of course, Brian Scally. Scally, how are you doing?
Oh, hello, hello. I'm good. I'm excited to be here. I saw the note that you left for me in the bag of wood. So I did, in fact, figure it out. And here I am talking 90 Day Fiancé yet again.
Yes, I'm happy you found it. I feel like I kind of hid it a little bit. You know, I sneaked it past you, but I'm happy you were able to discover it and make your way over to the podcast. So I do appreciate that. Scally, there's a lot going on here, and you nailed the perfect start to the podcast, because let's just dive into all of it. Specifically, let's go to Statler and Dempsey, who, like you just said, Statler set up a bit of a scavenger hunt for Dempsey while Dempsey went to work last episode, and Dempsey had no idea, because literally her and Statler have been together 24/7. Now, we know that the day before, Statler said, I need to go to the store to pick up some things for myself, and then bought the love bomb starter kit. I mean, sorry, the scavenger hunt kit, and has put this together and has left Dempsey a note to begin the hunt.
Yeah. First of all, hate calling these things scavenger hunts. That's not what they are, in my opinion. I don't know what they are, but like they can be cute. Not scavenger hunts, they are not. So like what was funny to me is Dempsey comes home. Who is Dempsey? I still feel like I don't know. She is the plus one of Statler on the show, as far as I am concerned. And so to see her like running around in what is like pretty much perfectly daylight, finding these clues, it's pretty cute. Cut to pitch black when she actually goes and sees Statler outside.
Yeah, because it said something along the lines of like, you know, the second clue, or was it the third clue, said, yeah, come to the fire. And I was like, well, where's the fire in the daytime? And then it got to night. I was like, are you telling me that she took did Dempsey take a full break until nighttime to go looking? B, did Statler hide until nighttime to get the fire going? C, how does this make any sense, really?
I could 100% see Dempsey hiding like under a bridge waiting for her moment to start this fire. Just like absolutely crouching down outside, like watching Dempsey from afar. That feels perfectly in line with what we know about Statler for me. So I would not be shocked. But yeah, it felt like she took a 4-hour break, maybe just like a nice quick nap before she went out there.
Right. It's a very sweet gesture, and very clearly Dempsey tells us, well, this is the most romantic thing anyone's ever done for me. And I thought, oh, you wait, this will come with a big receipt after, but you have no idea what that is. So the fire happens, they're at the fire, and when they're, you know, they're chilling, it's nighttime, there's fire, there's marshmallows, there's s'mores, like the things are, it's a very cozy situation. And then Statler says, I love you, to Dempsey. And Dempsey responds, I also love you. And, but then said it in very whispered tone, you know, it was like, I love you, Dempsey. I also love you. I'm not getting the same energy back. That's fine. But to me, it felt like maybe I'm misreading, but I was like, I think Dempsey didn't want to say it, but literally got put in a spot where, what am I going to do? Be rude? Like, yeah. I also love you.
Well, I feel like Dempsey heard it the last time Statler said it, and it's just been like, please don't say it again. Please don't say it again. And just has been working up the courage to, like, you know, grit her teeth and bear it and say it back, which, look, I think that they do genuinely care about each other. I think that it is moving a little fast for Dempsey and probably most people's likings, but Statler is very serious about this relationship.
Oh yeah, big serious. And that's the big thing here. So she's very serious. She lets out the I love you. Dempsey hits her with the I love you also. And then Statler says, well, and literally when I say Statler then says in the next sentence, well, since we've reached the I love you and you love me, my lease is running up at the end of the month and I'm not planning on renewing it. So I was thinking maybe I move in with you. We live together. Would, you know, maybe that. And then they had a bit of a cliffhanger. We come back and Dempsey says, I love you, but I think we should take things slow. Maybe you get your own place like up the street. And then we do that for about 6 months or so. And I think this is given the status of the relationship, given how they've literally been together a week and they're still getting to know each other, I don't think this is a bad suggestion by Dempsey, which is, if you want to be together in person, move here, we'll live apart, and then we'll see where we go from there, because we are still only to been together in person for a week. To which Statler says, what's the point? What's the point of me getting that?
Yeah, I mean, Dempsey makes a perfectly reasonable timeline and suggestion, to which Statler starts like malfunctioning. You see her start like twitching. She's like, no, why? Like that. It's not happening. She does not understand why someone would want to delay the inevitable. Obviously, they are going to fall in love and be together forever. So why not now?
Yeah, to me, it felt like Statler's mission was always, it's either a pass or a fail. There's no in between. Pass is, I live with you. Fail is, no, I don't. And she doesn't necessarily understand why Dempsey would want to do it this way. And then Dempsey does bring up some good points, mentioning, well, listen, I still don't know you. I just found out that you had cheated. And also, speaking of that, tell me more about your ex. How's your ex been? Like, you know, how long were you with that ex? Let me learn a little bit more while I'm contemplating us sharing a roof. To which Statler truth bombs and says, well, we talk a little, not really though, but we talked last month. And then she asked if she could come pick me up from the airport and then spend the night together to get closure. And I thought, do you not understand how this sounds, Statler? Truly.
Yeah. To say, like, I want to move in with you. Also, there was a possibility that I was going to put myself in a situation where I was definitely going to cheat on you. Probably not the right order of operations. Probably should have had this conversation first, waited a little bit longer to smooth that one over before we proposed moving in. So I think that this is only going to push back that timeline. Like, move here, move in 6 months. That just became at least 12.
Yeah, I feel like if anything, all she has done at this point is make everything go even slower than what it might have otherwise. I just truly do not understand why this was, how does she think this was the right call? Because it does not make sense to me whatsoever. Now, Dempsey tells us that she feels like she doesn't feel like she can trust Statler at the moment. And quite frankly, do we blame her? Not really.
Yeah. I mean, lying by omission, some would say, is still lying. So I think that Dempsey is falling into that camp and very much is like, all right, well, I'm just finding out that you're lying to me. And how am I supposed to trust you enough to go ahead and sign a lease with you? Like, I feel like, honestly, as much as I barely know Dempsey, is that a tool because Statler also barely knows Dempsey and they're trying to get us to feel the same? It is very odd to me. I think Dempsey made like kind of a correct call in the past of maybe Statler is like looking for love and trying to rush relationships a little hard, not to diagnose, but it seems like that might be the case. And that's unfortunate, and I feel like only more reason why Dempsey should be more careful about the timeline in which they move in.
Yeah, the read I have on Statler is I feel like Statler, like she has already clocked herself correctly, she does not like being, first of all, she when she's in, she's all in. So we're dating, I'm all in. I'm committed to you. I want us to have a future. And she means everything, but wants to move quick. Also, I feel like Statler doesn't like being alone is kind of the read I have on it. Because right now, I don't know where we're going to go from here. On the next time on, there's the aftermath of all this conversation. So we'll see where that's going to go. Because it didn't seem like Dempsey was acting any differently, but it felt like Statler couldn't breathe with the tension that was... She saw tension in the room. She was like being very awkward and not knowing how to communicate with Dempsey now. So I don't know where they go from here.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, for Statler, it was all or nothing. And since it's not all, it's going to feel like it's nothing. And so Statler sees her life plans collapsing around her and she's going to be dealing with that. Obviously, for Dempsey, it is just like a short adjustment on Statler's plans, but it seems like for Statler, it seems, you know, like it is completely collapsing.
Yeah, it's fully gone from very good to very bad in the span of one scavenger hunt, it seems like. So we'll see where the two of them go next week following their saga. But for now, let's flip on over to a couple who are very, very, you know, rootable in David and Sheila. And they had a very rough couple episodes now, specifically Sheila, who lost her mom due to a accident that happened in the house they live in, which is in very poor conditions. Now, they're very wholesome and I am rooting for them, but it's very clear to me that Sheila's in a weird spot because she's still grieving the loss of her mother, but also is trying to juggle having and doing right by David and their encounter and them being together for the first time, which is very hard to see.
Oh my God, this has been awful. I really just was like, I could not believe when we opened like the other episode like this with that reveal. I was just like, all right, we offered it to Tyrae. Can we like be paused down filming? Maybe like fly David back out here and like figure it out next time. Cause
yeah, that would be nice.
It would be nice. Unfortunately, I don't feel like they're offered that grace. So watching this play out has been tough, especially when it's a couple that we really like so much and like see actual hope for. So it has been just like, even just leading up to this week, extremely tough to jump into.
Yeah, it's been a tough watch, because it's just hard to see Sheila be in the state she's in, you know, like going through the motions here, and we've literally been alongside her, which I said the minute I saw that cliffhanger, do not do this, this is not the place for it, but yet they've done this. Now, the big thing is that this accident has been a bit of a wake-up call to Sheila. She wants to fix the house up and, you know, prevent accidents from happening in the future because their house did go through some damages, but they've not really had the money or the time to repair it. So they go to her house to meet with a contractor who then ends up giving them a rough estimate of how much it would cost to, I don't think it was a total repair, but at the very least repairing some of the main elements. And the conversion came to about $1,725. Now, on the way to this, the translator's also with them the entire time, Amy. And on the way to the house, Sheila has Amy ask David, how much is your salary? Which I thought, this is a very interesting question to ask through a translator. But then David responds about $800 a week. Because he works two jobs. He does the grocery job and then the casino job. So he says about $800 a week. So that's what, $2,400. Nope, I'm not good at math right now. $3,200. There we go. See, the math worked. $3,200. I don't know what the tax amount would be, but you know, let's say the take home is $2,500. Let's be that. Okay.
Who knows if that's pre or post tax? I mean, I'm assuming pre. But
I'm assuming pre, but that could also be if it's after, it's nicer, obviously. But so that's, this amount is roughly 2 weeks pay for David to end up paying. But I think what it was made clear was that David doesn't have that money right now at all, ready to go. And there was a weird exchange. They went to a local sports bar and there was a weird exchange about the money stuff, which I don't think was that weird. I think editing made it look weirder. What do you think, Scally?
Yeah, I agree. I think the editing was very strange on this. I thought it was a little confusing as well when, even before the sports bar, when Sheila says like, wow, 800 is so much. For 800, you could have a condo here. I was like, wait, to buy a condo? To like a rent a month? 800 a month for a condo? Like, what is the $800 evaluation? Because then why are we looking into that option?
Right, that's a very good point. If 800's a lot, then you can just move into a different place.
Yeah, so obviously I don't know anything about the conversion rates, and that was a one-off comment, but then so that was odd. And then we go to the sports bar and it is like making it look as if David is staring at every single woman that is entering. And at first I was like, this is a weird editing choice. And then I was like, oh, it's actually the storyline that we're running with at the beginning of this scene.
Yeah, this is what they wanted to focus on, because here's the awkward thing. So I feel like the entire storyline for David and Sheila at the moment is the money stuff, and specifically the repairing of the house stuff. But they somehow shoehorned, David's looking at the women at this bar. There's plenty. And then Sheila's and they're talking through the translator. So Sheila's like, there are plenty of women here, huh? And then David awkwardly says, well, I don't know what to say to that. And then he's like, no, I was looking at their faces. I was like, what are we doing here? This is such a non-conversation. Let's focus on the task at hand, the money stuff. Because ultimately, the money stuff ends up being, I can't afford it right now. Oh, okay. I feel like you might be upset. I don't want you to think that I'm in it for the money. I'm not. I don't think you're in it for the money. I believe you. And that's that.
Yeah. I just feel like, especially, I don't know if they were trying to go for levity with that first part of the scene, but it gave like a weird tone to start, and then jumping right back into the money, I thought was like a curious choice in terms of editing, not in terms of the conversation, obviously. But I don't know. It's just like, OK, David doesn't have the money right now and he's going to do what he can. He's like, will me sending money help you find a job? Like, I don't know. But it also is kind of weird, like watching the show that is making a lot of money off of them when it's like they're struggling for $1,700 in order to have like a livable place that will not result in another accident like this. And then the show is like, OK, bye. Like, I don't love that.
Yeah, I don't love that either. I'm rooting for the two of them. David does say that he'll send money when he gets home to help fix, which does not shock me at all. No. Now, next week, we do see the John Rail and David interactions. We have not gotten yet. John Rail, of course, being Sheila's son. And there is a cliffhanger moment where I guess David asks, hey, would you like to move to the USA? And John Rail says no. So I don't know if this is spliced together or this is actually what John Rail is going to say.
I mean, I feel like this season has had a lot of spliced previews in particular. Mm-hmm. So I would not be surprised. My question of moving to the US at this point now as well is like, okay, if Sheila comes, I assume her son comes with her. Now, what becomes of her dad? Do they try to figure out a way to bring him as well? Or like, who does he have family he's going to, you know, be able to rely on? Or is Sheila going to be more hesitant to move based on her dad potentially being alone at this point?
Yeah, I don't know. That adds a whole wrinkle to the to everything. So I wonder if potentially we could get to a place where Sheila will be willing to move if her dad, like if the house is fully like revamped and like done, so that the dad can live comfortably at the very least. Because I don't know. The reality is I don't know. It felt like, because she mentions that she lost her job due to the pandemic and has been having a tough time, you know, getting employment, to which David did offer, if I give you money, could you, that help you find a job? But is that working? Because where's their income coming from? Because if then if she's the income, the breadwinner, and then she leaves, what happens then?
Yeah. So that's a tough question to answer. I don't know if then David would find a way to like continue supporting him, but whether it's financially or emotionally, like I just don't know who is providing support for the dad once Sheila makes her move either.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Let's take a quick break now. When we get back, we're going to talk about Tyrae and Carmella.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, so this is the person I teased potentially being done with the show. This is a very short and sweet, so we'll keep it that way. Tyrae is at this bar waiting for the real Carmella to arrive. Now, he ended up getting in contact with the actual Carmella and thought, if I can get closure, that's good. Carmella agrees to visit to see him. He buys a candle for her, a very ugly candle, might I add, as a gift of, as a token of gratitude for her, you know, coming to visit him or coming to see him. He goes to Denver to see her. And then, yeah, she arrives. She comes to the bar. He doesn't get ghosted. But my God, Tyrae got so giddy when he saw Carmella. It was awkward.
So uncomfortable. Like, I just don't know what good really could have come of this. And I feel like it's actually going to make this harder for him because it is him seeming to transfer all of the feelings that he had in his relationship with Christian, we are going to say the catfish, and transferring over them to Carmella. It just made me like even more sad, unfortunately.
Yeah, I feel like the show should have stopped the minute they said, hey, we can stop recording. Whether or not he said yes, they should have just done it, because at the end of the day, this is just heartbreaking to see. This man has been in a relationship with a catfish for 4 years, is now meeting the person who was impersonated by the catfish, and has some of those feelings transfer over, obviously. He still had this conspiracy theory that maybe Carmella was a part of it. Maybe Carmella had something to do with all this. And obviously, when he asks her, she says, no, I had nothing to do with this.
Yeah. You asked me to create my list of suspects. I would have gotten through all 8 billion people on Earth before I got to the person whose face is on this like crime. Like, I don't think that she is putting it out there. You know, I was just like, at what point, like the show even trying to use it as a cliffhanger multiple times, like no one believes this. It's only making this poor woman who is now wrapped up in all of this, like potentially look bad if you use it in a commercial. So I did not like this.
Yeah, no, I didn't like it whatsoever. So that's it. Because then Tyrae asks if they can still be friends. Carmella says, sure. He's like, oh, maybe, you know, you can come to California. He's like, oh, I've never been. He's like, oh, I'll show you around. And I was like, I can feel like Carmella wants to just leave and never look back. He gives her the candle, and then they start playing this like triumphant music. And to me, that's the music they play on the finale of the show. So to me, it felt like this was the last time we're going to see Tyrae. Now, I could be wrong, but also I would argue, what else is left on the story? He says he got closure. He has met the real Carmella. He is probably no longer going to talk to Christian because he now has confirmation that Christian was indeed a catfish. I think that's it. I think that's the last we see of Tyrae.
I mean, he said multiple times through the series, he's like, I understand that they were a catfish, but like, was any of it real? Were their feelings for me real? And so I would not be shocked if there were threads to pull on, if Tyrae would continue, unfortunately. Now, I don't know if the producers are going to be able to pull any of those threads to reveal any cloth, but I think that I would be glad to be done with it, but I'm never confident that 90 Day is going to pull the plug when appropriate.
Yeah, if there's one thing 90 Day is going to do is put people through the ringer when they should just be like given mercy and let them go. Right. We're seeing this with Sheila having to still like go through all of that on camera. And then we're seeing this with Tyrae getting literally being made a fool of for 11 episodes on the show, hopefully, and last time on the show. But we'll see where that goes. Now, we are up to the next couple. Scally, it's Gino and Jasmine time. They seem to be doing way better than they were at one point, right?
I mean, bar was low, but yes, anything was an improvement. I will say I have almost always enjoyed Gino and Jasmine as characters on the show. I think I'm fully in on Jasmine. Like, I don't know if there's anything she could do. Well, I mean, let's not get hasty. Oh. Like, it's going to be hard for her to lose me. I think she's such a character that, like, even the bad stuff is just like, well, that's just Jasmine. Like, I'm on board for the ride.
Right. Jasmine and Gino, they went to the therapist and things have been getting better, which is very, very, very nice to see. And I'm very happy to see that at least things look to be on the horizon and improving. But there is a big thing that they said they were going to do last episode that they're going to end up doing here, which is, hey, your cousin, Gino, your cousin said some stuff I didn't like on social media. And he said, well, how about I put you two on a call and we can see where they go? Now, before we get into this call, Scally, you are a fashion expert. I want to know what your thoughts are on this horrible attire. Spoiler alert, that's my thoughts. Horrible attire that Gino put together, which was a fedora, a floral short sleeve shirt with a long striped T-shirt underneath, dad jeans, and the short sleeve shirt is tucked into the dad jeans.
The tuck and the dad jeans had me cackling. The problem is there are items of Geno's where I'm like, I see the vision. And if I was in a dark enough store and took a wrong turn, like maybe I pick up this shirt, but it is just styled so incorrectly. They are just off. They are bad. Like all of the above, not to mention the fedora, obviously. It is like really, really bad. It looks like he hit up like every single item in the bargain bin of like Old Navy. It's like these are all the leftovers that no one else wanted, unfortunately.
Yeah, it really felt like he just slapped them together and moved on. So
yeah, it is bad. I mean, look, you can do pattern matching, but not like this. Not like this.
Right. Not like this, definitely. Now, okay. So then he gets her on a call with the cousin. And this conversation goes about as well as you'd want it to go, where the cousin had awful defenses of why he said that. He's like, well, I know how much you love her, Geno, but I don't know her, so I don't know how much she loves you. And then he says, I didn't mean anything about it. He does apologize. And Jasmine, you know, accepts the apology, but doesn't believe in this apology.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, honestly, from where we start with Jasmine ducking out of frame, like, what did you think was going to go when you just pop up? Like, obviously, you are just like folded in half like a pretzel. So funny. And then with, you know, I don't know Dana, but I saw the comment and I know Jasmine. So I thought this was going to be like as close to a brawl as you can get on FaceTime. And it's not great for sure. I mean, they definitely are sorting stuff out, but it doesn't go as bad as I imagined it could have.
No, I definitely could see this go 17,000 different ways. However, it goes fine. It's okay. Now, the other thing that comes up in this episode for them is Geno does say that he wishes Jasmine wouldn't say that she wants his family to not be involved, because she said that, listen, when I move there, I don't want them in our business like that, or I don't want them in our. And she says, well, listen, I'm sorry. I know I have said I don't want them to be involved, but what I need to know is, what would you do if they hate me? And he's like, I don't think they'll hate you. She's like, well, let's pretend they do. Give me let's pretend they do. He says, well, how about, no, sorry. Okay. I'm getting tongue twisted here. She basically says, give me an example. Anyway, pretend they hate me. Give me an example of what you would do to defend me if they hate me. And he says, well, I would have to see what happens and who said what. And I was like, all right, you burnt it. That was the worst response you could have given to a hypothetical. A hypothetical.
Do you know, just lie. Like, no one thinks you're strong. And so, like, no one thinks that you're going to, like, do the absolute ideal. No one thinks you're going to do even 50% of that. Just, like, appease her right now. That is your problem. Like, it just, you know, oh, yeah, obviously, like, we're going to be married and I'm going to stick by you. And, like, look, there will be times where I'll have to mediate and we'll have to have a discussion, maybe, because I also don't want Jasmine to say basically like, you said no matter what, you'd be on my side, because I can see her pulling that very much so. But just tell her like they'll work through it at the very least, not, you know, maybe you'll be at fault.
Right. So, well, not the best answer. I don't trust Geno. I don't trust these two. They look fine for now, but I feel like the shoe is going to drop eventually. Now, in the next episode, we do see that, first of all, Geno says, are you pregnant? Because you're kind of looking like it.
Honestly, they're good characters. I'm sorry.
Not a great couple. Good popcorn, though.
Yeah, I'm enjoying.
Yeah. So he says that and she doesn't seem like she's offended by it, although she does hit him with the response of, what if I told you I do not want to have a baby? Would you still marry me? My God, the drama will come back next week. They had us fooled for two episodes. I'm so happy we're going to have some beef again.
Look, I mean, based on the success rate of their intercourse, I don't think that Geno's swimmers are so strong that one time is going to be enough. So I think that nothing to worry about here. I don't think there's any pregnancies happening anytime soon.
We're going to be fine. It's all fine. Everything's good. We'll see. Because here's the thing. I'd much rather them fight for my entertainment than for them to do bedroom stuff and I have to see it. So
I don't think we're losing either of those.
What'd you say?
I don't think we're losing either of those. I think that
Scally,
they're going to be, as soon as the next season of 90 Day like proper starts filming, like they're on it. There's no doubt.
We'll see about that. We'll see. Not impossible.
I'll take a bet.
But we'll take a bet. Oh, well, I don't do bets. So it's not in my nature. That's not a thing I like.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Well, let's move on over to a couple who also have arrived at the end of their journey. Not quite, because they didn't have that somber music at, or triumphant music at the end. But it's time for Amanda and Roz Von Scally. Now, they just had sex and it felt so good because they woke up and they had done it all night long.
Yeah, been quite the topic of conversation between the two of them leading up to this episode. So quite the blind side to hear that they didn't get an ounce of sleep. Razvan is like, you want to go again? Like, sir, we're on a timeline. You have to get to Dracula's castle in 10. Like, I don't think you have time.
Yeah, I feel like the last time we saw them, we of course had the MVP of the episode, Razvan's friend, basically tell Amanda to her face that, yeah, this is a toxic relationship, and I don't know how, if you're in it because you're in love or because it's just convenient. And somehow, Diana calling it a toxic relationship, Amanda tells us, made her want to have a better relationship with Razvan. So it worked.
So funny, because calling the relationship toxic and then the response is like, oh yeah, I'll show you, I'm gonna have sex with him all night. Like, that is the definition of toxic.
Yeah.
Like, like, you proved your point, Amanda.
She really showed Diana with that one.
Yeah. So that was really funny to me, is it's like, okay, I understand the concept of like, you could say her saying that worried me, and so like I like reevaluated and I want to be a better girlfriend. I don't think that having sex all night was the determining factor necessarily, but for it to be like, I wanted to prove her wrong. Like, oh, okay. I don't think this is what you're doing, what you think it's doing.
Yeah, no, definitely not doing what you may think. Now, you did mention they do have a tour of Dracula's castle. That's where they're planning on going. We do find out on the way there that Razvan ended up choosing to delay the video shoot that he was going to do because he wanted to spend those that time with Amanda, and also figured it'd be better for Amanda if she's not here when that video gets shot. So that got delayed, and also he got his visa to go to the States. The tourist visa he had applied for has been approved. So all things looking good for the couple. Everything sounds fun. And hell, they showed us B-roll of him getting the visa news, and she seemed excited. So I thought, oh, that's an improvement. So that seemed nice until, go ahead.
Canceling the video shoot, great for them as a couple, terrible for us as a video, as a TV audience.
Yeah, we missed out on some good drama there for sure. So that we'll never get that back, at least for right now. At the Dracula tour, things seemed fine until they got to what was called the interrogation seat. And it looked like a seat that had like sharp, not, it wasn't needles, but it was like sharp pointies all over it. And I guess this is where you would sit and get interrogated. And because it's painful, you would give everything up. And Razvan jokingly said, let me ask you some questions. He's like, so now that I have the visa, when are you going to tell the kids that I'll be visiting? And she says, well, I don't know. And he's like, well, I need to know. What do you think? I don't know. He's like, well, she says, let's not speculate. To which he responds, no, let's speculate because I want answers. I don't want to feel like a fool. And I love this from Razvan, because enough is enough. You need to tell me what we're doing, because now I have this visa and the plan is for me to come visit. But if you're being vague or you're not giving me at least a conversation, what am I supposed to think about it?
Yeah. I mean, look, Amanda's the first one to make a joke. Like, maybe we should put you in the interrogation seat.
Oh, he, if you don't want the reverse carded that so quickly.
And if you don't want someone to, then don't play the card in the first place. So, Amanda, you made a mistake and he capitalized on it. Like, he didn't call it up first. And so he saw his opening. The man took it and really just was like, let me actually ask all of the hard questions right now in the middle of this like tour of Dracula's castle. Could have been better timing, but the opening was there. He took his opportunity. So I don't blame him for wanting some kind of answers. I think that obviously it's understandable that Amanda is saying like, I don't know. I don't know the answers to these, but I feel like we could be doing a better job of communicating, like, whether it be some type of timeline, whether it be like, I need to have like this conversation, like I get home and I'm going to talk to them. And if it goes this way, then this is how we proceed.
Yeah, I feel like, listen, my issue is that it's not that Amanda doesn't know, because truly, it's fair that you don't know. You've just met in person. You don't know how quickly you want the relationship to move. My issue is, I think she's decided that she doesn't want him to meet them, but she's not telling him. And I think that's the issue for me.
Yeah, not ideal. Obviously, I think that Amanda kind of, like you said, has decided. I don't have children I won't be introducing anyone to. So definitely think that that is obviously a very complicated issue, but then like also, why are we doing this at the same time? I don't know why we're here. Why do we apply for all these visas?
Right. I mean, he did get the visa put together himself without telling her, to surprise her with. But now that the visa's done and she's like, seems to be open to him visiting, that's not like the door's not been shut on that. I think it's fair for him to be like, hey, so what's the timeline? Because I think the other thing for Razvan is that he doesn't like that he is undeclared to the kids. Not so much that basically he feels like he's lying, which, you know, okay, that's fair. But also, I think he just wants answers. He wants clarity because Amanda's been keeping everything very like tightly sealed and he still doesn't know where they stand. All he knows is they just had, you know, they just had the best sex all night long. But other than that, everything's vague and it's just in muddied and I don't knows. And I feel like wanting clarity to get out of purgatory is not a bad thing. I almost would rather know that it's a no than not know anything and just like have my hopes up for however long this is going to go.
Yeah, it's hard because Amanda doesn't seem to even know how she feels about Razvan. And like, that is what we're feeling out on this trip. So we're going to have to go from there. We're not finished out with this. I don't feel like we've had a very consistent relationship through this trip between the two of them. So I'm not surprised that she is still questioning how she wants to advance, but I can understand from his perspective why he is also frustrated.
Yeah, and these frustrations end up culminating in a huge fight they have later that night. And the next scene we see, they're both separate, where Amanda's in the room, Razvan is out somewhere having a coffee. And it sounds like this conversation wasn't pleasant. It sounds like Amanda definitely peppered him with some mean comments. And she compared him with Jason. So here's how it started. Amanda asked him what his plans were when he comes to the U.S. And he, I guess, implied that, well, I'm not 100% sure. I want to like follow my dream or whatever. And she's like, well, I didn't want him to say that he's going to pay right away, but I want him to contribute. So you want him to pay right away then? Because yep. She was like, I'm not going to, you know, finance him and my children. And he follows these dreams that might not ever amount to anything. And I thought, this is a very weird argument to take when literally hours prior, you didn't even know when you were going to tell your children about him. Why are you having a conversation about what his plans are long term when he moves to the U.S.?
Yeah, I can understand starting these talks, but to get so frustrated over them is my point of confusion. Razvan can't work when he first moves to the U.S., so I don't know what timeline you're really expecting him to start contributing, let alone, like, he's not going to be able to explore those dreams that he has for the first little bit. So I am curious, like, does she expect him to give up like the TikTok stuff right away? Does she expect him to just like get quote unquote like a regular 9-to-5, or like what are her expectations? And I don't feel like she did a great job of communicating based on what we heard.
No, I don't think at all. And I agree with you. These conversations are crucial to have. These are conversations that we make fun of other couples for not having before they arrive to the US. But to have this conversation on the heels of what was already a tumultuous argument about a tourist visa, a visit, rather than a whole move, is a choice at this point. And then you're comparing him to Jason, which is a very impossible thing for him to feel. So he's now getting feeling that. And it was just awkward to me. It felt like the hard destruction button was pressed on the relationship by Amanda.
Yeah. Well, there were also like a lot of tinges where at first he was saying things that she was saying. And I was like, all right, maybe it was taken this way. But then when we flash back to her and she's saying like, well, I just think that a man would want to contribute. And I was like, we're getting a little toxic here. Like back to
Diana, come over.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, we have very traditional views on some of this stuff, don't we? So that's where I started to get nervous of like, all right, this is what's being said. What is also not being said based on the clues that we are getting here?
That is a great question, because what is happening here? It doesn't sound like things are going to be in a good spot, and I feel like this is the beginning of the end for the two of them. Anytime I see Razvan cry too, it does bother me, because he clearly is so committed to her and he just wants to, you know, have things be good. And I feel like we've said this from episode one, we can continue to say it again. She was not ready for this relationship. And that has never been more than obvious than it is right now.
Yeah. I mean, I don't feel like she was probably ready based on what we've seen for any relationship, mm-hmm. let alone this one, which I think is going to be much more intensive. It is obviously shown where like she meets him doing a specific job, but then seems very not okay with him continuing to do that specific job. Like, okay, curious for me personally, but I have a lot of questions when it comes to like them as a couple and like Amanda's readiness, her, needs in this. So I am not having high hopes for these two.
No, me neither. We do not see them in the next time on, so they're going to get the bye week. So we'll see how long that ends up going for. Now, Scally, we've arrived at our last couple of the week here. Now, in the off pod before we started, you mentioned that you had detailed notes here on this exchange and this couple. So I would like for you to take the reins in bringing us the conversation to Christian and Cleo.
So Christian and Cleo got a solid page and a half. We are working on what is teased in the last episode, where Christian basically says, like, you haven't told anyone about our night of intimacy, right? Is how it's phrased, it seems. And Cleo is with her friend Jane. Jane's like, what do you want me to do? And Cleo says basically like, I want you to come in because it'll make me feel more at ease. And basically I've called him a gaslighter and manipulator, and I am nervous to basically get into this scenario alone without you. So please come up and have this sit down with me, which is a lot to put anyone in. But also like, I think that it immediately put all three of them like in an uncomfortable situation. Like no one was at ease here.
No, this was a very, very very tense moment on the episode to sit through. And it's bothering me, because basically Christian does the Christian thing where he keeps making it seem like he was asking for her benefit. The whole thing, he's phrasing it as, well, I meant like, if you were, you know, I wanted to see if you were not comfortable and you didn't want to share. It's like, so clearly Cleo's been very willing to share. You're the one that's been closed off. But then this conversation gets worse, because with the presence of Jane, aka Cleo's friend, this conversation got weird, because Christian just felt ganged up on and was shutting down and just felt like, oh, I'm being called defensive. Oh no, I can't do this. And Jane was there for like the first bit of the conversation and then essentially got relegated to the stairwell, where she just chilled for God knows how long while these two ironed it out.
Well, I feel like the correct opener to this, if Christian really was looking out for Cleo, to me, it would seem that we would open this as, hey, I had my talk with the producers. I just wanted to reconfirm with you to make sure that you're okay with being open about our intimacy and discussing details. I did not for our first interview, but wanted to clarify to see if like I needed to do a second one and like go from there. And that I feel like is respectful rather than I took the initiative to lie because I assumed you would be uncomfortable. And there like can be good intent in that, but the difference in how it's phrased is going to very clearly put Cleo in an uncomfortable position and like prey on her insecurities. If it is any person that he is dealing with, I can understand like wanting to keep certain things private. But when you factor in that Cleo has insecurities about being both trans and autistic and Christian's like feelings around that, then it is going to make her feel like she is embarrassed because he is not willing to talk about them rather than actually looking out for her.
Yeah, it doesn't. The Christian is not ready. I cannot believe he's putting Cleo through the ringer here. Now, Cleo did, you know, say you're gaslighting, you're manipulating, and this is like some psychotic behavior, which I think he took to heart, which ended up causing him to be super defensive out the gate. Now, where does that leave us, Gally? Where do we go from here? Because when the conversation ended, they seem like they're in a better spot. Cleo does tell her friend, like, yeah, I feel bad for him because I feel like he felt attacked. And her friend basically stops her and says, listen, I do not feel good about this. Put your guard up with him.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that Christian is entering into a relationship with a trans woman. And I think that he thought that he was ready for that. And he's very clearly not. I mean, even outside of being in a relationship with someone, like if you are going to be even an ally, like you should like be concerned of their feelings in this and not your own and not how you're going to look based on this conversation. So it doesn't feel like he came at this with any sympathy to how she was feeling. And it very much was, I'm being taken out of context. I'm doing this. And it felt like it was really out of concern for how he is going to look in this moment. And like, then you put just the fact that they are obviously in a relationship and they share the intimate night and everything on top of that. And it's like, all right, you're not ready. Like you never, like you very clearly have not been since before you even flew here. And so like, we should have called it. I think that Christian like wants to be ready and he's very clearly not. I think that Cleo is forgiving too much here and just letting things brush under the rug that she probably should continue to push on, but in the interest of not having more awkward conversations, she's willing to just let it go.
Right. And in the next time on, we do see them together. They're with someone who's got a relationship chart of theirs open. Scally, can you speak to any of it? Because this all looked like new territory to me.
No, I don't know if this is an astrologer. I don't know if this is someone like reading tarot cards or what they're doing. Something in the realm, I would presume. But as we know with Cleo, like she is very into astrology and things of that nature. So it does not surprise me to see them going to someone like this and Cleo taking what they say pretty seriously.
Yeah. So this is gonna, Christian is told that he lacks sensitivity, you nailed it. So we'll see where the two of them go next week. The other couple that we're going to see next week that we haven't seen this week, actually two of them, Riley and Violet, are going to be trying to patch things up. Specifically, Riley's trying got apology flowers and is sitting down and Violet is explaining why she was upset with him. So they might be patching things up. And then Misha and Nicola are going to go meet his family who he has hid Misha from for 7 years. Should go well.
Yeah. It's a lot. Those two couples I was not sad to miss. Could have missed even more, but those two in particular, I think there are so many problems there. I am very interested to see how they play out, but that's someone else's job.
I fully expect to see them more now that Tyree is gone. Because that opens up at least a slot of conversation here moving forward, or it just makes the focus on five couples a week. But next week, we did get a next time on for six of them. So everybody, with the exception of Amanda and Razvan, will be present next week. So we'll see how that plays out. But for this week, Scally, we are almost done. We have the power rankings to go through. Would you like the reminder of what last week's was before we hop in?
Please, I love a good reminder.
All right. So in last place, Cleo and Christian. Fourth place, we had Amanda and Razvan. Third was Statler and Dempsey. Second was Nicola and Misha. And first place was Gino and Jasmine.
All right. Let's run them back. No. I think it's honestly, I don't feel like there was like huge changes this week for me. But where do you want to start? You want to start at the top or the bottom?
I think what I like to do is one at the top, one at the bottom, and then the middle starts filling itself out almost.
Okay. For me, I want the easy number one. I think you still put David and Sheila at number one. Obviously, there is a lot that they're dealing with, but it's never appeared to put their, like, make there be a question mark on their relationship. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's stuff that they are going to have to continue to sort through from here and answer those questions, but the answer never appears to be breakup for them.
Yeah, I feel like any week that they've not been on, they've been number one. I'm looking at the previous weeks, not a single week where they were featured have they been anywhere but the top spot, and I think that's for good reason. I think if they do not work out or things get delayed in the relationship, it'll have to do with this unfortunate situation that Sheila and her family are in now with the passing of her mom, and not to do with the two of them, because they seem well adjusted and they seem to love each other. And I don't think this money thing's an issue. I don't think the bar was an issue. I think they're fine.
Yeah. Now, where do you want to go for the bottom?
Okay. So this is an interesting one, because last week we had Cleo and Christian. I will argue that it seems like they have patched things up a little bit and they're still trying to work things out. So I wouldn't put them in last place here. I think I'm more likely to put Amanda and Razvan in last place at this point.
Yeah, that's the thing. I figured you'd catch the same things that I was thinking. I would love if we could put Christian in last place and move Cleo up this,
right.
This ranking. But yeah, I do agree, based on where we end things, even though I think the lows were lower with Cleo and Christian, I think I'd put Amanda and Razvan in last place based on where we end.
Yeah, I feel the same way as well. They're literally in a very bad spot and might be completely done, but we'll find out soon enough. That leaves us with Christian and Cleo, Statler and Dempsey, and Gino and Jasmine. Now, the big question is, Christian and Cleo fourth or third, and Statler and Dempsey fourth or third. And I still think, ooh, I would put Christian and Cleo in fourth easily, because yeah, they have had way more turmoil. Now, Statler did try and failed to secure a new lease on both her relationship and living situation. But I feel like they are two that are still in a good spot aside from that. And the awkwardness we see in the next time on is just Statler being nervous as she usually is. And I feel like Dempsey's got a good head on her shoulders. I feel like they're going to be fine.
Yeah, that's how I feel too. For me, it is like, even though Cleo and Christian end in a better place, like, they have a lot to really overcome still. I mean, Cleo is even saying, like, I hope that you are genuine in this. So I think that while she is moving past it, I don't think that she is, you know, forgiving, not forgetting. Right. So I think that Dempsey and Statler actually seem like, you know, while they have to overcome Statler's maybe inflated expectations of the timeline of things, otherwise they seem pretty solid, but not solid enough to overcome the rock that is the Gino and Jasmine relationship, huh?
Yeah, they're in second, which is so funny, because they've been, unlike David and Sheila, who have literally just been number one when they're featured, Gino and Jasmine have been all over the board. They've been third, and the first two episodes, they were third out of four couples total. Third, fifth, second, fourth, fifth, third, first. Like, they've literally been in every spot on the map. It's so funny.
It's amazing, because it's the only couple that we've also seen before that has actually stood the test of meeting in person multiple times, has stood probably like the longest of, you know, the most time in person, stuff like that. And we presume is definitely going to be on future iterations of the show. And yet still, they could hit rock bottom. They still are not a guaranteed first place, even when they are good. So Gino and Jasmine, you keep doing you. I'm going to keep watching.
we're going to keep watching and we'll see how it goes. I will say I did get a tweet this past week from Gotta Go Pack on Twitter. And it is, you know, a spoiler to one of the couples. So I'm going to give you all the you know, skip a minute ahead, maybe minute and a half to be safe, because we're going to go to plugs after this. So if you don't want to know the fate of a couple, potentially a little spoilery, maybe we'll see. Okay. Okay. Scally, one of these couples from this season were spotted together in the USA, and it's not Amanda and Razvan.
Ooh.
They were spotted in Mall of America.
Oh, okay. Now I'm trying to think of which state Jasmine is complaining about having to live in.
It is not Jasmine.
Oh no.
Okay. Let me make it a little bit easier. It's not Cleo and Christian.
Okay, good. Okay. Are we seeing David and Sheila in the US anytime soon?
No, that would be nice. It's Misha and Nicola.
Oh.
So I've been one of the ones who has said, yeah, I don't trust this relationship to work out. Liana came in early in the season and said they're going to be fine. And if this is truly they're fine, I'm curious to see where we go with this couple, because I still feel skeptical, but we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about Misha and like Virgin Damabate, but I am.
Oh my God.
Nervous, to say the least.
All right. Well, we have arrived at the end of the episode. So, Scally, thank you for coming on and for bringing that to my world. Let the people know, where can they find you and what other parties do you have going on right now?
People can find me on Twitter at Brian_Scally, also on Twitch at twitch.tv/bscally. I was lucky enough to guest on the Claim to Fame podcast this week with Rob and Jenny, so that was a ton of fun. I'm also regularly talking about Love Island over on the Hot Dummies on Islands and RHAP Wrap-Ups feed with Kirsten, so definitely check that out. What I would say is the best USA season so far. Regularly covering the Challenge USA over on the Dom and Colin podcast with Matt Liguori, so check that out. I'm going to be talking to Rob on this week's Feedbag, the patron only perk. So if you're not already a patron, make sure to subscribe so you can check that out. We're going to talk about feeds, probably talk some crap. So jump in for that. And I was able to guest on the Lonely Boys podcast talking about classic Gossip Girl, if you're a Gossip Girl fan.
Oh, yeah, because they rebooted.
They did and canceled it. But the classics. So we're talking about the classic.
We're talking about the classics here, folks. Yeah.
So, yeah. A lot of fun. Lots of stuff going on. Anything that I forgot potentially or I'm doing in the future. Again, on Twitter at Brian_Scally.
There we go. Thank you so much, Scally, for that. Y'all can find me on Twitter at PuyaIsm. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. That's where I will be when I'm not podcasting. So come through, say hi. I would appreciate it. I've been very busy on the podcasting front these days. Aside from this 90-day pod, of course, we've got one more that is coming your way. That is The Other Way with Mari Forth this week, where we covered not one, but two episodes. And now those episodes are down to 42 minutes apiece, which makes covering them way easier. That's the only thing I'm going to be thankful for with 90 Day Fiancé, The Last Resort coming out. And I've also been talking The Traitors. We've got Traitors New Zealand with Shannon, Gus. We talked about episode 3 and 4 this week. And Traitors Australia season 2 with Peridium. We're going to be talking about the first week of that as well. And if you're listening to or watching Big Brother, well, I'll be there for the Wednesday night recap, and I'm always there for the Friday morning updates. You can come find me over there. And of course, last but not least, if you would like to leave a rating and review for this podcast, I would very much appreciate it. It helps people find the show. It gives me much needed feedback. You can do so over on robiswebsite.com/90dayfiance. That's robiswebsite.com, the number 9, number 0, Day Fiance. I hope you all had fun with us. We have arrived at our destination. We will see y'all next week. But until then, take care. Have a good one. Bye.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.